Coming up on today's show, I am back from Disney World and I have a trip report to share, and that is coming up today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome everyone to Traveling with the Mouse. I am your host today. I am Jason. This is episode 349 of Traveling with the Mouse. And today is a very special episode because I have a trip report for you. But before we get there, we have a little bit of news to cover. And to do that, I have brought along two very esteemed co-hosts. First, we have Adam.
What's up, everybody?
How are you doing this fine day, Adam?
Peachy.
Peachy?
Doing very peachy.
Peachy.
That's the correct word.
Mm-hmm. Of course. And I have also brought along John.
Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along.
I'm glad to have you, John.
What is that from?
You don't know?
Doesn't sound as familiar, yeah.
Well, if I'd have said the next line, you probably would have guessed it. I probably did a bad impression, too. It's kind of hard to do this. It's kind of hard to do this particular okay. voice. But anyway, if I had followed up with, I am the Dreamfinder.
Okay, yes. Yeah. The old Figment.
Yes. The best, the only good attraction that's ever been in that building. is the original.
Yes, the only version of said attraction, yeah.
Yes, that was ever actually any good.
Well, we'll get along from the Dreamfinder on to maybe some of the new stuff that's coming. We'll start today's episode by traveling around some of the latest news. We'll start with our favorite or least favorite employee of the Walt Disney World Company, Mr. Bob Chapek, who was recently at the Disney shareholder meeting and released a little bit of some information that not everything is entirely canceled, but
yes.
It's just on hold. Right. And so I took a look while I was there, and I can go ahead and tell you, it is definitively on hold. There is no Mary Poppins attraction being worked on.
Right. Did you go back there in the courtyard back there?
I didn't go all the way back there, but I looked. It's not there.
Oh, okay.
He made this announcement on, I think it was like March 8th or 9th, right before we left to go on our trip. And I did cut through where the Epcot experience is, but that is also now closed.
Bye-bye.
Gone.
Yeah.
So he's like, it's on hold, but we're also going to close the thing that tells you about all the things we were going to build, but they aren't going to come anymore.
Right.
So is it on hold like, I don't know, the Venetian Resort? Or is it on hold
like Reflections, a lakeside lodge and drug rehab center?
Right.
Yeah. What type of hold is being placed?
The indefinite kind.
But he said he needs better cash flow to build these things. Wasn't the Mary Poppins ride going to be like not that exciting?
A spinner, basically.
Yeah. Can't they just pick up Triceratops spin, put some paint on it, take the dinosaurs off, and like just move it? Because Dinoland doesn't have anything else going for it at the moment. So,
well, I mean, I didn't think that they ever truly got into too many details of what it was actually going to be, right? I mean, I think it was just speculation stage at the last stage we heard.
Yeah.
So
we just knew they were going to decorate that courtyard behind the UK Pavilion like Cherry Tree Lane.
Yeah. The place where the fake Beatles used to play.
Right.
The British Invasion. That's what they were called.
Sorry. Which were pretty good. They were pretty good.
Yeah, they actually were. They did quite well. I enjoyed it. I mean, I would stop and listen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, continuing on our theme.
Yeah.
Let's continue along with our favorite Disney employee. Yeah. Disney CEO Bob Chapek, who had to apologize for his, as he called it, his silence regarding the Don't Say Gay bill. I would say it's more of his speaking up to the employee saying he wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't productive. And then turns out there are a lot of employees and fans
in the LGBTQ community.
The LGBTQ plus community that he offended. And
yeah.
Turns out, once again, Bob was tone deaf, as usual, to the needs of real people, along with the rest of his staff, who says things like, some people have more time than money, and other people have more money than time, like his CFO.
Tone deaf is an understatement. He was just wrong. So, and his apology hasn't gone over very well.
No, I mean, this is just another example of him...
Dropping the ball
on being ahead of a very important thing. Like,
yeah.
This is the kind of thing, again, we were getting into comparisons trap, that never would have happened under Iger. It just wouldn't have. Iger would have been on top of this.
Yeah. And it's interesting you bring that up, because in his book, which I've read, an example similar to this, where he got out of ahead of it, was remember the Roseanne Barr thing, where she had made some racist tweet, but the Roseanne show was the number one show on TV that season. But yeah. Iger said in the book, he's like, that was a no-brainer. Like, I didn't have to even, like, think hard about this decision. The right decision was to fire her from the network. And he said he didn't even think twice about it, even though it probably cost them money because the show was number one on TV that season. I think things like this, he would have been more proactive.
I mean, you got to lay some blame also at the team that he has surrounded himself with. And he's picked that team to just miss the boat time and time again with their messaging and their... Yeah.
PR game has been bad.
Let's talk a little bit about that PR game again a little bit more. They've triumphantly announced that the Disney's Polynesian Resort is going to get a new Disney Vacation Club wing, multi-level resort studio. And to be fair, I love these towers. Grand Destino, as we'll talk about in a minute, I stayed there this past weekend. Still one of my favorite places to stay, to go. I love it. But the artwork that comes out, like, that's not the Polynesian what they just released.
Right. And thematically, they don't care what anything looks like anymore. It's like, you have the Polynesian, now they're going to throw this tower in there that looks nothing like the rest of the resort, but yet you look on the other side of the lagoon, you've got the giant Tron show building that's like out there. You go to Epcot, you've got tons of thematic problems. You know, Guardians giant building, and among other many things that they just don't care anymore how it looks. You know, Galaxy's Edge, you can see from the highway. Pandora, you can see from when you come in to Animal Kingdom, the back, you know, stage areas. You're on the Skyliner. You see all the backstage of Ratatouille when you're coming in. They don't care what it looks like anymore. None of it matters anymore.
And I'll say this, that we come from a place where we love Disney still. The product, and we just want them to do better. And they can, honestly. They can do better. And there is still a lot of really good things going on. I'll talk about that in my trip report. I just think that there is a real lack of vision at the top. And I do believe they'll correct it. And they'll correct it whenever, because we've seen these ebbs and flows again, time and time again, where they bring in someone like a Chapek to try to make him some money, but he lacks creative vision and discipline and an understanding of what makes Disney great.
The building of this, if it goes through as it's shown, would totally ruin, in my opinion, the theming of the Polynesian. It would change it entirely. Especially after they just
redid the whole thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, they did a lot of work on this resort in the last 10 years.
I get that they want to increase the number of particularly DVC rooms, which we've talked about before, right? We've made those comments about how they have so few options, DVC.
Right.
I don't think we contributed to this. I don't think. But yeah, just looking at it, you know, I got to thinking about when you were talking about Reflections earlier. It's almost like they just took part of Reflections and they're going to... Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, we already have it designed. Let's just put it over here.
Right.
And put make a couple of changes to make it Polynesian.
Whatever 3D software they were using.
I don't know if you guys watched Mickey Views, but Braden commented on, he said this is totally rumor, but, you know, some folks have speculated that they started to build reflections, found a giant sinkhole. Oh, decided, oops, we can't build here. Like, we can't build this. And they're like, where can we put this? And they said, oh, let's just get rid of the Spirit of Aloha show, which was also announced. Right. And let's just slap that tower over there.
Yeah.
And again, the idea of a tower at the Polynesian, I'm not against it. In principle.
Right.
Like, put it in there, make it thematically consistent. Think about how when Bay Lake Tower went up next to the Contemporary, it, like, for folks that don't know anything about DVC, to them it just looks like one resort.
Yeah, it's roughly the same height as the original resort, though, in this case. Right. This would be overshadowing even this, what's supposed to be the main building. I mean, the Polynesian is not supposed to be tall. I mean, it's not designed that way.
It's not, but think about Coronado Springs again. Grandestino Tower, in my opinion, adds to Coronado, and Coronado didn't have tall buildings. I think it adds to it, and I think it blends in and fits the theme beautifully. Yeah,
they do a good job with that one, for sure.
Well, yeah, that's one example of it fitting.
Right. And it looks like, I was saying before the show, I thought it looked kind of like Reflections / Grandestino / kind of Riviera. Just smash those designs together, and this is what you get, which doesn't really look very Polynesian at all. Not even Aulani. Doesn't even look that Aulani-like.
Why is it every time that there is a decision that's going to be unpopular, there's always a sinkhole involved? I mean, there was a whole, like, tons of threads about sinkholes and Horizon way back in the day when Horizons was going away.
Yeah.
And then the funny thing is, I'm even starting to think those were conspiracies, truthfully, you know, they just did what they wanted. I mean, because supposedly, I can show you where this building... Some people are claiming as cast members now that I could show you underneath the Universe of Energy where they're using water displacement to keep the building up and keep it, you know, to fill in the hole. Right. I'm like, okay, well, they had an opportunity to do something with it now since they're changing it. How come they didn't? Right. Why would you use a building that's potentially has a bad foundation?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah. By the way, that big sinkhole that they came across over there, it's called River Country.
Yeah, it was the pools that were dug in there. That's all it
now,
was.
I mean,
we've been pretty negative to start the podcast, and I'm going to balance that out later because I did just come back from Disney World, and I had a great time. I am a little bit being negative about Chapek and some of that because, as I'll talk about in my trip report, I went with folks that don't go very often. My mom and my dad, my sister, my brother-in-law, and my niece. And there was a lot of discussion, especially with my sister and brother-in-law, about the way they just felt so nickeled and dimed. And they just felt like, where is the... They said they don't mind spending money, but they want to feel like they're getting value when they're
getting something.
When they're outlaying their money. And they kept asking me things like, you're a pass holder and a DVC member. What are you getting? Like, where is the thanks for that? You know, when they were like, why don't you get, whenever I was like, well, we don't have PhotoPass. They're like, why don't you get PhotoPass? I'm like, well, I did.
Good question.
Until now, I don't get that anymore. They're like, why? Why wouldn't you get PhotoPass? And then they're like, why don't you just get preferred parking? They're like, why do you have to pay for parking at a hotel? That's You're a, really a pass question. Holder. You are a DVC member. You have bought into this resort. And so I'm a little negative because I spent a decent amount of a trip that they enjoyed and I enjoyed defending because I took the side because I love Disney, having to defend Disney. And I had a tough time at times like doing so because I agreed with some of their criticisms. And they were like, at Universal, we paid $200 a person a day and we got to ride what we wanted. And I would rather do that than what I had to do here because they're like, the only reason they had a good time and got to do everything is because I knew how to make it happen.
Yeah.
That's
it. Right. Yeah. If they had been going all on their own, it would probably not have been as good.
Too much work. And if you're not in it and a nerd about it like we are, it's hard to like put that much effort into it.
Well, you mentioned the universal part of it, right? I mean, this is, I'll just give you an example, because I got to be honest, when I couldn't find a place to stay, I started looking over here right. recently.
Yeah.
They are advertising currently right now a 3-park, 5-night vacation package starting at $89 per person per night. That's based on a family of 4. Now, of course, that is also based staying at their newest and, you know, their most valued, I guess we'll say, resort, sure. Endless Summer. But even there, when you get the room, you're getting a basically like a 2-bedroom type deal. Like you're getting something. I mean, it's not like a true 2-bedroom, but you know what I mean. It's more space than you're going to get at, say, a value resort at Disney. It's, wow. When you have stuff like that happening, yeah, it's kind of hard to you know, it, you can see their side, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Right, and we'll get into the trip report, but I mean, just to say, they went to Universal about 2 or 3 months ago.
Right.
On their own, and they loved it. They're also thrill seekers, right? So mm-hmm. Disney doesn't have as much for them.
Right.
But they love the Velocicoaster.
Right.
You know,
I want to do that still.
Right. And they pointed out, like, they had a great time, but maybe I'm being even more negative than usual just because, as a fan, I'm trying to defend mm-hmm. what I love to my family. And I'm almost feeling, like, attacked. Like, I have to stand here and defend things that I don't believe in.
Yeah.
Because shouldn't these decisions.
Yeah.
Like, I have to every minute tell them, okay, just so you know, we're about to spend $15 a person to go do this. They're like, yeah. What?
I don't think you necessarily have to defend it, because I think, and I made this comment one time not too long ago on Twitter. I forgot what he calls himself now, but it was basically Hoot. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay. Right.
Of when he was saying something about, I forgot what the subject was, but people were saying. And I made the comment about, I was like, well, I think the reason that we do criticize it is because you do criticize that thing that you love because you want to see it improve. And he was like something about, that's like you've said it all right there, you know, was basically what he said. I can't remember how he worded it.
Right.
But because you got it from his perspective and seeing this stuff, they did stuff like that they shouldn't have done in some cases because they loved it, right? So just because you have a passion for something doesn't mean that you love how things are being run or you love how things are being done.
But
you can rebel against the system and still enjoy the product.
Right.
Yeah. I agree with you, but also the Disney perspective on that is no matter what they do, half of the fan base is going to hate it and they're going to hate on it because that's just part of it now. Everyone loves it so much that they critique it no matter what.
I won't name any names because I don't want to get any cast members in trouble.
Okay, right.
But I talked to several.
Yes.
About the state of affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And it is unanimous. There's not a single person that thinks the direction is correct, that thinks that Chapek is doing the right thing, thinks that Genie Plus is a good idea, or thinks that it is better in how they are operating today. It was one of those things where they would say something like, I cannot officially agree with you, sir, but I understand where you're coming from. Look right. around and say,
wink, wink.
You no, are no. correct. I went to a guest experiences tent. I'll talk about that in a little bit.
Mm.
Because I had to complain about something. And they said, absolutely agree. Please put your feedback in, sir, into the app. We get that, sir. I had to go again to guest services team. And I said, I'm sure you get this all the time. They're like, yes, sir, we do. Just put your feedback in, sir. Let us know what you think.
How high will this bubble up is the question, these complaints?
Depends on how many of them they actually get.
The thing is right. the parks are slammed.
Yeah.
And they can get away with highway robbery right now because people are revenge vacationing.
Yep.
And so it doesn't matter what they do right now. People are going to show up. It doesn't even matter if us Disney fans all united and stopped going. The parks would be full.
Yeah. 2 years of pandemic, pent-up demand, and that's what they're capitalizing on.
The question is, what's it going to look like 18 months from now?
Right. Because that's why they don't have annual pass sales. They're raking in the money from the day tickets, you know, whatever. So they're going to do that as long as they can until the demand dries up.
See, that's, you're assuming that the demand's going to dry up anytime soon.
It will.
After the 50th, I think it will to some degree.
I think we've got at least 1 year of revenge vacationing, at most 18 months, especially after a year. If the pandemic is still in sort of a lull and people feel very comfortable, they aren't going to Disney. They're going elsewhere. They're moving on. Like, they aren't going to come back to this. This isn't going to be the type of experience unless you're already bought in, like me. I'm going to keep going back because I find the value in it. Yeah. I can still have a good time without having to ride all the rides, but like a family that shows up for a once in a lifetime vacation. I think there was a world a few years ago where they show up. This is a once in a lifetime vacation. We're never going to come back here. They get there. They're like, man, this is a good deal and we can do that. And all of a sudden they're coming back. I think you leave that park and you're like, I had a good time, but I ain't coming back because literally I like took a mortgage out to come here.
You know, if I'm being completely honest, of some of the things that have crossed my mind anyway, I went ahead and got the annual passes for everybody back in October, and I'm making use of them, obviously, but I have actually mulled over whether or not I would want to renew when the time comes, even just the way it is. I mean, I've really mulled it over because I'm like, I could potentially, because there's other stuff that I would like to do as well, and I could probably use that money that I'm spending on annual passes to accomplish it, you know? So
I feel like I'm getting my money's worth because I paid the gold pass rate because of DVC.
Yeah.
And I'm not at all upset about that. Like, that is a reasonable price to me. I think the price for a platinum is one where you go like, oof. It doesn't come with PhotoPass or any, you know. Oof. That is. Oof. But, I mean, I think that the gold DVC pass has helped. And let's just be clear. I love the resorts. I do. Like,
right.
They're beautiful. I love them. It is the things about the park operations that I get really upset about. And it's like they're trying to make the experience as complicated, as convoluted, and as frustrating as possible for everybody. So, anyways, that's enough negativity. Let's move on to the some exciting...
How many times are we going to say that?
Yeah, well, a lot lately. A lot.
It is a lot, and I feel like we're not alone. There's been a lot of articles written. I mean, a lot of people are... I don't think we are a unique voice here. And people might be getting tired of hearing it, but if you're the type that listens to Disney podcasts such as ours, you're probably in agreement with us. This is not an uncommon take, and rightfully so. One positive thing, though. Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind will be opening not too long from now. Mm-hmm. And there was some stuff sort of leaked a little bit.
A little bit.
The ride height requirements will be 42 inches. Seemed a little shorter than I thought it was going to have to be.
Aren't you a little short for a Guardians coaster? Yeah.
I know I heard you guys say that, but I got to thinking about what I've seen of the ride, though.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not that surprised. I mean, because it doesn't look like it's... I mean, it looks like it's designed to have some intensity and be... I mean, I think it's designed more to be fun than it is intense. I mean, it's not going to be any, like, rock and roller coaster or anything.
Right.
I think it's designed more to be fun. Yeah, it's designed more to be fun than intense. Sure. So I'm not that shocked by the 42 inches, truthfully. After looking at, you know, you've seen those couple of short videos of, like, the engineers testing the ride part out where they're going. It didn't really look all that intense.
Yeah.
So I'm not that shocked.
Yeah, we saw the interior of the building, and we saw it was kind of some twists and turns in the track, but not anything too crazy. The reverse launch will probably be the most exciting kind of part of it. I think that'll be interesting.
What exactly is it that happens in here, truthfully, that gets it 42 inches? Because, I mean, good Lord, apparently you just add a 2-foot drop to an attraction and it has to have a 40-inch one. Because that's about the difference between Rise and Runaway.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, they are also, it looks like, getting very close to testing some of the ride vehicles on Tron as well. Which is good.
Yes. Yeah. We've been doing that push-pull, as we talked about last week. I watched a short video on that, you know, the Disney-released video on that, how they talked about it. and how close it makes it sound like it would be. Don't want to speculate too much yet, but
yeah,
maybe October 1st.
I think it could, for sure. A year
maybe
late.
Another October 1st. Yeah, maybe another October 1st-er.
We'll see.
A so. Year late.
Yeah.
Well, alas, that is the news. I feel like the news is the depressing segment because
yeah,
where's the good yeah. news these days?
All right, this trip report yes. better be all good, 100% good.
Just before you get into it, I do want to mention that I had been, when I was talking about going, I had to move things around a little bit, but I'm officially going to be going in the first week of June, and I'm going to be staying at Pop, so.
Pop Century. Just get a good section, you know, don't go to the 90s. They always
preferred.
Put you in the 90s.
I already have a preferred.
Yeah, you got to have preferred. Yeah, I agree. The preferred's better because they will always stick you in the 90s somehow.
I've never even been to the 90s.
I always get stuck there, and there's two things wrong with the 90s. One, it's really far, and two, because of the way the resort's laid out, you walk, and somehow you end up not at the right spot. like, so you're true. Always like, I'm in the 90s. Where is my building?
That's what I was telling Adam. I was like, I get a value price, and then I also have a short Skyliner ride to, you know, Caribbean, Riviera, Boardwalk, Yacht Club for, you know, food and whatever else. So,
yeah, I'm excited about hearing about Bar Riva as well because I saw you went there.
I did. All right, let's talk about the trip. Let's talk about the trip.
All right, let's do it.
So, we went on a trip from, I guess it was. We our first park day was Friday, so we all arrived on Thursday evening, and we were there until Tuesday morning. There were 8 of us in total that went on this trip. Myself, my wife, and my son, my mom and dad, my sister, my brother-in-law, and my niece. To give you a little bit of an idea of the dynamics of this, my sister, my brother-in-law, and my niece, well, my sister and brother-in-law hadn't been there since 2016. My niece, I think, last went in 2017 or maybe 2018. I think it was 2017 or 2018 with us, as well as that was the last time that my parents had gone. My dad does not ride a whole lot of rides. He has motion sickness problems, so that was another thing that we were working on. And the stated goals that they had was they wanted to ride the things they had never ridden before. They had never experienced Toy Story Land. They had never experienced, obviously, Star Wars Land, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. They had never experienced Pandora or Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Or I think they had done Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I think they just, one of them didn't remember it. So there was a lot of things they had not yet tried. And so I knew going in that the goal of this trip report was going to be about efficiency, and it was going to cost us a lot of money,
right?
Because to do all those things with a group of 8, 2 of the members of the family, one of them is, you know, 75 years old, and one is getting, you know, is 68 years old, it's not going to be a brisk pace through the park. So you have to plan accordingly. So our plan overall was this. They had park hopper passes, so we could change parks. We were going to try to, you know, do things like get on the rope, stay late. Some of the longest park days I've done in a while. You know, when we go on trips, Adam, I like to bow out midday and go relax. Maybe do one long park day in a trip, but not 4 in a row. I mean, we went rope to rope several times. So the first night we arrive on Thursday night and we stay off property at the Delta Hotels by Marriott, which is right near Disney Springs. Okay. Not a bad spot. Reasonably priced. Was a good place to land for a night. I didn't arrive there till about 12:30 in the morning, so I barely slept. Got a little bit of sleep in, and the goal was Epcot. As usual, you sign up for Epcot because it's your first day. It's a late start. But no, Epcot opens the earliest it has in about a decade.
Yeah.
Right. The Crazy. Official park opening time was 8:30 in the morning, wow. which meant that we as resort guests, because we were checking into our resort the next day, could start riding at 8:00 in the morning.
Wow.
I got us a Trattoria Al Forno breakfast, taught my family about how you park at the International Gateway with the intention of going to Rope Ratatouille, so we didn't have to pay for it.
Right.
You know, before 7 a.m., I purchased Genie Plus. Right at 7, I pulled a test track for probably about, I don't know, 11 a.m.-ish was about the time that I got.
Really?
Yeah.
On that purpose, or that was what was available?
That was what was available with the speed with which I was able to pull it. Yeah.
Goes quick sometimes, yeah.
It goes quick. So we arrive, we park at Trattoria Al Forno, we get in, they open the rope, we go right in, we head over to Ratatouille. I noticed that they didn't drop the rope at the International Gateway as early as apparently they must have at the front of the park, because I saw people walking around World Showcase before they dropped our rope.
Hmm.
But Ratatouille was experiencing a delayed opening.
Ugh, boo.
Isn't that what everything new does at Disney lately?
Yeah.
Which started the trip off interesting, where, you know, my brother-in-law was like, boo, Universal's better. That, why can't they have the ride open at the start of the day? And what made it more confusing, and I told them later, I was like, it wasn't that it was broken down. It was that they probably weren't done with the opening procedures yet.
Right. Because it's so early.
Yeah. But what got us really confused is I was the tour guide. We go to scan in and they tell me my tickets aren't active.
Yours?
Because I renewed into a different level of annual pass,
I had to go
back over to guest services.
Wow.
Get the passes activated. The rest of the family was in the park and they had no idea where they were going. They were standing in France and they're like, Ratatouille's closed. Where do we go? And I'm on the phone with them and I'm like, go to Frozen. They're like, how do we get there? And I'm like, walk away from me towards Morocco. And they start walking. We get our passes activated. We scan in. They're not exactly fast.
How far did they make it?
My sister and my niece made it all the way. I caught up to the rest of the family right about at China.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they were pretty far along. I mean, we had to sit there and they had to activate our passes and they had to tell us the spiel and this is when it ends. Do you want to add the photo pass on? No. Do you want to add water parks on? No. Then they had to scan our bands three times or whatever they had to do. We had to sign something and then we were off on our way.
Oh my gosh, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it was a lot of work. So we get in, we go to Frozen. By the time we get there, I think it's posted 45.
Wow.
The line is backed up basically to just at the beginning of the indoor section. We wait 15 minutes. Oh. It was
I was
going to
say, yeah, if it's just there, there's no way it's 45.
Because there's no lightning lanes going at that point. So it was 15 minutes. We get on and off the ride. They hadn't done that ride. Well, some of them hadn't done that ride before.
Yeah.
Some of them had. Good ride. My dad was even able to ride that one.
Yeah.
But while we were doing that, while we were on the way to Frozen, I just bit the bullet and bought Ratatouille for later. Because I'm like, we're not going to be able to time this. I'm not waiting in line. So by not opening at Park Open, we bought it.
Yeah.
$12 a person.
Wow.
Ratatouille.
So Chapek was there and said, let's delay the opening of Ratatouille just so we can get Jason.
I mean, that's the perception that he created with my family. My sister and brother-in-law are like, my brother-in-law was telling this story. He's like, I paid $100 a day for this ticket and Disney has stolen X minutes away from my day. They owe me a refund of X dollars. I'm like, you're welcome to go to a guest experience tent and try to plead your case and see what happens. So we go to Frozen. Of course, now everybody's hungry. My original plan was to do Ratatouille and Frozen right away. Yeah. And so then we go and we eat Kringla, which I remember Kringla having some savory choices, and they were not there anymore in breakfast. Mm. Didn't they used to have some savories?
Yeah, some of it was, I thought. Yeah.
There was no savory. None whatsoever. All sweet. But, you know, it's food. So we eat there, I get some coffee, and, you know, we have that test track not too far along. So I talk everybody into somehow at like 9:30 in the morning, let's go do Mission Space. So we do Mission Space Orange side.
Oh, okay.
Orange side. First, bright and early in the morning.
Oof.
Yeah.
We get, did they like it?
The kids did.
Oh, okay. And you said they were thrill seekers, right? You're...
Mm-hmm. My sister said, I'd done that before, and the last time I did it, I said, I have no need to do that again, and then I just did it again, and I don't know why I just did that. Okay. My brother-in-law said he was trying to take a nap on it, and I'm like, what are you, whatever.
Okay. Sure.
That probably works out worse, actually.
Yeah, it'd probably make him feel worse.
Because your brain starts to pick up the sense of motion more.
Yep.
Anyway.
So we get off that. My wife wanted something from, I think it's called the Donut Box or something there. It wasn't donuts, though. She wanted...
By Test Track?
She wanted a different meal item, though. So we do that, and we go to Test Track. We go through the Fast Pass line, Lightning Lane line, whatever you want to call it. Again, terrible branding. Because I had to explain that to my family. They're like, well, what's Genie versus Genie Plus versus Lightning Lane? And I'm,
yeah, right.
Getting all that explained was not intuitive.
I think I would have been like, look, I'm the expert, and even I don't have a grip on it this great yet. So
yes, exactly.
Tell me about it, yeah.
So we've already started off on that foot. We get to Test Track. We get right up to where we're supposed to tap in and go into the car creation room. And ladies and gentlemen, your wait will be a little bit longer as Test Track is currently non-operational.
Great.
So we have to stand there for about 20 minutes. Again, family, brother-in-law, sisters, like, they're stealing our day away. They're taking our minutes away.
Right.
But eventually we do get on, and it was fun. Everybody loved Test Track. The kids play for a little bit in the play area, which I think has become sort of a regular stop.
Right.
The Princess and the Frog play area, is that right?
Yep, yep. And now the kids are kind of melting down because all they've had is like a cinnamon roll.
Yeah.
So we bustle over to Mexico Pavilion, and the line for the quick service there in Mexico outside is super long.
Oh, so wow.
My wife stands in that line to order them food, and the rest of us go and get on the Grand Fiesta Tour.
Okay.
Ride the Grand Fiesta Tour. No one enjoys it as much as me, although I point out Hidden Mickey's, get some excitement from that. We get off. The kids are able to eat. I found out my son likes the rice and beans there, so that's now an option for us from, like, where will he eat at Epcot?
Yeah.
The Mexico Quick Service. That's where he'll eat. And while he's eating, my brother-in-law, myself, and my dad go off. My brother-in-law and I go to La Cava de Tequila.
Wonderful place.
Yes. I get. I order an NPH, Neil Patrick Harris drink, and a Top Shelf. I thought my wife wanted the Neil Patrick Harris. She tried it. She wasn't as big a fan this time, so we swapped, and she had the Top Shelf, and I had the NPH drink this time.
I like the NPH. That's the one I got last time.
Yeah.
Good.
So we were able to entertain the kids, and I was very excited about this. My son and then my niece got really into the Kid Cop Fun Stops once we had been in Mexico. Oh,
cool.
And so they had started to run ahead to, like, go find the stops in every country, which was really exciting. You know, we're working our way around the pavilions, and my mom and dad hadn't eaten yet, so they wanted a pretzel from Germany. So we slowly make our way around, and then we stop in Germany for that.
Mm-hmm.
They're still doing their thing. We eat there. We keep moving forward. We end up in the Americas Pavilion, and we stop to get a drink there. And while we stopped to get a drink, my mom noticed, she's like, the show's starting soon. Do you want to do the show? So my sister, my son, and my niece all start running ahead to keep doing the Kid Cop Fun Stops. My brother-in-law, myself, my wife all go get drinks from Regal Eagle Smokehouse Walk-Up Bar.
Nice.
And we arrive just in time for the American Adventure Show. Turns out you can take drinks into that show.
Ooh, really?
They just changed the policy.
That'll make it better.
I took a Moscow Mule or whatever they made at Regal Eagle right on into that show.
Nice.
Way better when you can take a drink in.
I'll stay awake for that.
I don't know if I've ever actually done that show before, actually.
It's not bad. It's pretty good.
I've always enjoyed it.
Yeah, there's stuff that they can still update, though. They spend maybe 30-ish seconds about slavery, and it's just Frederick Douglass.
Yeah,
trolling
in a boat.
And they present it as, like, racism is something that is a solved problem in America. They did pay some good lip service to a few things, but they, as with a lot of things that maybe are a little bit older, they should maybe tell less of the whitewashed version of American history. But I would say the animatronics, in my opinion, were stellar, right? To just see the way they used them. I thought that some of the visual effects were good. Overall, would give it a good mark on the show.
You got to remember that walking Ben Franklin has been there since 1982. Yeah.
Yeah. The show's not changed a lot, to be honest, except for maybe the end, right? Not lots changed since 1982.
Yeah, I think if they were doing it today, Mark Twain wouldn't be a prominent character. But we like the show. We get done. The kids have already completed their Kid Cop fun stops. And this is when it is now time for us to do our Ratatouille individual lightning lane that we now paid for because it was not working earlier. We ride that, and everybody thought it was very cute. I was still kind of upset that we had to pay money because I worked so hard to get them there on time.
I was
going to
say, is it worth $12, Jason?
Is that how much it was?
Yeah, it was $12 a person. It was worth it in that case to make sure that they got it done that day.
Right.
Right? If it was us and we had gotten there to rope and it was broken, we just wouldn't have ridden it that day.
Right.
And I wouldn't have gone to Frozen either. I would have just gone to Test Track.
Or done it last, right?
I just wouldn't have done it.
You wouldn't have done it? Right. Okay.
So all eight of you did it?
All seven. Seven of us did.
Oh, seven. Okay.
But I did accidentally pay for an eighth because we had my dad on the lightning lane and I was just like moving quick because I got it in some sort of moment where it was available. So I just hit go, 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 go. Again, a problem with the Genie Plus service. You have to go, 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 and hope you don't lose it in the 2 seconds that it takes you to pay for something.
Yeah, exactly.
So $96.
Yeah, plus tax, so it was over 100.
And I have to go figure all this out, because all the Genie Plus, all the Lightning Lanes, I personally paid for, and I have to go tell my family how much they owe me. And I paid for all of them the whole trip.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And just going to improve their opinion.
Yeah.
Whew. $100 to ride Ratatouille. No thanks.
For seven people or eight people. Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm. After we had already paid $100 for Genie Plus.
Yeah. And essentially your ticket price to get in.
And our ticket price to get in.
So yeah, ridiculous.
Anyways, we ride that, start making our way around the park. My niece is now hungry. This is the problem when you have eight people. Someone's always hungry or got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So we stop, and the thing I think I saw her eat some of the most of on the trip, she loved the fish and chips in the UK Pavilion. We did the walk-up fish and chips. She enjoyed that, which gave me a chance to peruse a few stores, go to the
tea shop.
Yeah, they were missing the tea I wanted that day. And then we made our way around to, I got us a Soaring Lightning Lane. We made our way over to the Land Pavilion, where we did Soarin', one of my mom's favorites, so that also landed very well. And then I convinced everybody to do... Yeah. And then we did Living with the Land.
Oh, boy. Heard about this.
I love Living with the Land. And I got a lot of ridicule from my family about Living with the Land. My brother-in-law thought it was not a good ride. And he kept joking about it for the remainder of the trip. Like, well, that was at least better than Living with the Land.
Oh, wow. Did you ride Figment at all? Oh.
We did not.
Okay.
My dad liked Living with the Land because that's the thing. It's not just about riding a ride. Like, you have to appreciate the educational...
And what they do, yeah.
Yeah, and every time you ride it, they're growing something different.
Yeah, it's cool to watch. I like looking at it.
I do, too. I thought it was a grand ride. And I think I raised a lot of eyebrows when I told him, like, two of my favorite rides in Epcot are Living with the Land and the Grand Fiesta Tour. And he's like, what's wrong with you?
That makes sense.
So we never got around to Spaceship Earth, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
Because I just felt like too far of a walk. But we had to go to dinner. We went to dinner at Shula's Steakhouse over at the Swalfin.
Sure.
We took the boat to Boardwalk and then walked the rest of the way because I should have just taken the boat all the way to Swalfin, but we were close on time. Shula's... Would not recommend for the price. Way too expensive. Not that good. I had read really good reviews. Worth it, in my opinion. I mean, don't get me wrong. It was good, especially if you like a classic steakhouse where you pay for everything a la carte. Yeah. My opinion, nothing to write home about. Had better meals at Disney that trip for a lot less money.
Okay.
That's my review there. We head back into Epcot for Harmonious. They get us a spot in between basically Canada and the center. what I noticed in that viewing is that I couldn't really see the projections inside of the little ring even being off center just a little bit. Like, I could just couldn't even make out the projections in the ring. So it's very important for you to be directly on the center to really see everything. But they like the show, all right. We get done, we head home. And so, again, we were there, literally, rope to rope.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That was a lot.
Busy day.
Day one. We check into our hotel. They did not put us all together. We go to Grandestino, and I am very happy because I'm back home. And we go there. The plan for the next day is Hollywood Studios. And again, opens at 8:30, I believe it was. We have to be there by 8. Wow. We're going to hit the rope. Same thing as the day before. And now I'll speed through a little bit of that day just to give you an idea of everything we did that day. So rather than going step by step on that, just give me a moment. I want to tell you... Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention that I did get to stop by Trowel and Trellis on our first day.
Yes.
And they had the Impossible Beef Short Ribs.
Love it.
Which were fantastic.
Love it.
Like, you just have to do that. So the next day we wake up, we are going to go to Hollywood Studios. Again, I buy Genie Plus. At 7 a.m., I do what you expect. I pull Slinky and Rise. And the strategy that worked well is I got my wife involved.
Yes.
And I pulled Slinky, she pulled Rise simultaneously.
Yeah.
And that allowed us to get two good things at about the same time. The 10 to 11 o'clock a shower.
Okay.
We go and we rope drop. And let me tell you a little bit about what we achieved at Hollywood Studios.
Okay. Quick question. Was she using your account, different phone?
My account, different phone. She doesn't have an account.
Okay. What? That's what I was thinking.
Both on my account.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Well, I'd heard someone else do that, so I wanted to, I said, I bet that's what you did, too. That's what I would have to do. So
both on my account, different phone. Yep.
Huh. Okay. Interesting. So okay.
She pulled it. We were able to do it simultaneously. So we purchased Rise. We have Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, and we all sang Nothing Can Stop Us Now for the rest of the trip.
Oh, that's cool.
Then great we song. Went from there to Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. Again, standby. Not bad. Then we go to Toy Story Midway Mania. Stand by, not too bad. Maybe that was like a 20-25 minute wait. Then we head over for our Rise Fast Pass. Well, we eat at Woody's Lunchbox before we head over to Rise. After we eat at Woody's Lunchbox, we head over to Rise. We get right up to the merge point, and it breaks down. After a little while, they tell us, hey, do you want to leave? So we left the ride, and they gave us an anytime Fast Pass for it. And at that point, we start making our way over to try to find some popcorn or something. And then the bottom drops out of the sky. And everybody just runs to Muppet Vision. That is, we do Muppet Vision. That is the most full I have ever seen that theater. I don't think there was an empty seat in that house. But they liked Muppet Vision. By the time it was done, Rise was working again. So we do Rise of the Resistance. The general consensus was that was worth the money.
Yeah.
Eat lunch at ABC Commissary, go to Slinky Dog Dash, hit up Baseline Tap House. Wonderful.
Yeah.
We do the Indiana Jones Stunt Show Spectacular.
Nice.
Okay.
Another exciting thing. Head to Star Tours. I get another drink from Baseline Tap House.
Awesome.
Then we had a fast pass to hit up Rockin' Roller Coaster. And that ended our day at the Hollywood Studios before it was time for dinner. We had dinner over at Epcot. We took the Skyliner, so we did get to have them experience the Skyliner. We went to the France Pavilion, had some wine, and ate dinner at Chefs de France. Yeah. I did the pre-fee menu. And while we were doing that, at 5:02 p.m., I was able to secure at a now-known drop a flight of passage lightning lane for post dinner. So as soon as dinner was over, we took the Skyliner back to our car, drove over to Animal Kingdom, went into Animal Kingdom, which closed at 8:30. We got there at about 7:30, walked in, used that lightning lane to ride flight of passage, And then with 2 minutes to spare, got into a walk online and rode Navi River Journey.
Wow, nice.
Another rope-to-rope day.
It's a lot. I see a pattern here.
That is a day as a tour guide for the family I am really proud of. Like, everything I just listed to get all of that into a day for 8 people.
Yeah, that's pretty good, for sure.
I mean...
cost a lot of money.
It did. It cost a lot of money, but that's what it took. Like, if I hadn't spent the money, we wouldn't have gotten all that done by any stretch of the imagination at all.
Unless this was 2019, then you could
have. Of course, yeah. If it was 2019 or back whenever Disney was a thing we knew how to conquer without spending $1 billion, yeah.
Yeah, I figured I had to plug that loophole.
Yeah. Anyways, another great day.
Yeah.
I feel like that might have been the day that my brother-in-law and sister really liked the most, because it's Hollywood Studios. There was more thrill rides, right?
Sure.
The next day, we go to Magic Kingdom. Of course, I buy Genie Plus there. I do him and haw for a little bit and ultimately decide to buy Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. My brother-in-law said he liked the coaster. I thought it's not worth buying the Lightning Lane. Finally landed on, let's buy it. We buy it for late in the evening. I get it. By the time I hem and haw, it's 6:20 to 7:20 or something like that is the fast pass I have to do, or 6:40 to 7:40, something like that, at night. Again, you know, the idea is to try to be there closest to rope, but this time we did not actually get there at rope. We do Space Mountain, the People Mover, and then, of course, the Tomorrowland Speedway. And then at this point, the lines everywhere are super long. I'm able to get fast passes for later, but I can't get anything for right now. So I'm like, what do y'all want to do?
You just can't quit calling it that, can you?
They're fast passes. That's what they are. I refuse to use their like, if I can't use your branding, then your branding is terrible.
Yeah.
Right.
That's pretty good. It's not you, it's them.
Yeah. So we stand by Little Mermaid, and while we're there, we place our mobile order at Columbia Harbor House.
Nice.
Columbia Harbor House was interesting. I've also started to notice, I think I noticed it in another place, I think if you go and order at the restaurant, there's more options than what's on mobile order. Like, for instance, I could order the trio, which had the fish, the fried chicken strips, and the shrimp. And fries. But there was no option in the mobile order for me to just get, like, the fish only. Or the shrimp only. Or the chicken. No, like, I had to get the trio. But I think if I had gone to the restaurant, I could have ordered that.
Yeah.
So, we eat at Columbia Harbor House, and then we stand by for about 30, 35 minutes for Small World.
Yeesh.
But I make it all the way through this time.
Right. No event.
We made it all the way through Small World. We are able to knock that off. And then we have a Lightning Lane for Haunted Mansion.
Okay.
The Haunted Mansion line wrapped all through the main queue, out the back into that little area, basically all the way back up to the bridge, like it did back during COVID times.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
It was long. But we got it done. Again, lots of fun. And then I was going to take him over to do Big Thunder, because you know Big Thunder moves pretty quick. But on the way over there, it breaks down. So it's just me with the 2 kids. I do Splash Mountain because nobody else wants to do it because it's cold or whatever. But I do Splash Mountain anyways, and it was a lot of fun. The kids loved it.
It is fun.
I think I had to wait in standby for 45 minutes to ride it.
Wow. What did they do while you were doing that?
The rest of them, they went and got Dole Whips.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then waited on the bridge to watch us come down. My sister and a couple, they're melting down. Magic Kingdom is a madhouse. I will say, in a lot of ways, doing a park day at Magic Kingdom is one of my least favorite things to do, where you're trying to ride a bunch of rides with a bunch of people, because it's a madhouse in there. The vibe of Magic Kingdom feels frenetic, cramped. There's not that much good food.
Yep.
And everybody's there with kids and just trying to, like, force, like, it's mandatory fun time parade everywhere. Yeah. And so it was wearing thin on a few people.
Yeah. After 2 other full days, yeah.
Right. So the kids want ice cream now after getting out of Splash. So we walk over to the Edie's in Main Street.
Okay, yeah. Get
it out. And I had now lined up for the evening. I was able to have 2 4-people reservations for Skipper Canteen. I was able to pull a Jungle Cruise midday, which I don't know how I was able to pull that off because that was sold out most of the day. Mm. And then we had, of course, our Lightning Lane in the evening for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. We're all standing around. We're about to do this. And it's about 2:30 in the afternoon, a little bit before the parade. And a few of them just are bowed out. So my sister, my wife, and the 2 kids head back to the pool at the hotel. And then I'm just left with my mom, my dad, brother-in-law, and me. So I was able to drop one of the 2 4-people reservations for Skipper Canteen. It actually worked out very well. And the rest of us continue our day at Magic Kingdom. So now we're sans kids. It's a lot easier, right? I'm able to watch the Festival of Fantasy Parade. Great show. They do have the fire coming out of the dragon. I do the Hall of Presidents, which I don't know the last time I ever did Hall of Presidents.
Yeah. What'd you think?
It was fine. Obviously, the sort of message didn't land with a lot of folks in the audience who, of course, spent the last few presidents treating it like it was a football game, booing certain presidents and cheering for others. And I'm just like, none of the sort of pomp and circumstance leading up to this helped with sort of tempering that urge. Good to know. Yeah. Good to know.
I mean, that's happened. I mean, even in the 90s, I remember that happening.
Yeah. It's not, I mean, like, you know, you never hear now,
it's just always bad whenever they say Millard Fillmore and everybody's like, boo.
No,
I'm just
kidding. No, the time Adam is talking about, Reagan got a little something, and then when Clinton was introduced, he got some booze. But
yeah. During so that there's a pattern here.
But
yeah.
Anyway, that was also the last time that I went there. Have I mentioned that before? I think I mentioned that a time
or two. Yes, you have. It's like 28 years ago or something.
My mom wanted to go because my mom went to Disney World about 50 years ago. And she was there the year it opened. She was there 50 years ago. I think it's next week is the 50th anniversary of when she first went.
Wow.
And she did Hall of Presidents and she wanted to do it.
Yeah, and of course you got to do it. Because of that, but
I mean, when you give a story like that, you can't. I would even have to go.
Right, yeah, I would do it too.
So we do that. We go have our dinner at Skipper Canteen, and it was lovely. We got to do the room I had not yet done, the sea room. And as you can tell, it's the sea room because you can see it's a room. And yeah, the skipper there was hilarious. We had a great dinner, just the 4 of us. I had a couple of drinks. Started feeling a little bit better. And we had a fast pass for Jungle Cruise. So, like, my thematic planning almost worked out perfectly. We went straight from Skipper Canteen onto the Jungle Cruise via a Lightning Lane. And the skipper on the Jungle Cruise sort of went not off the book, because they can't go off the book, but she went with jokes you don't always hear.
Yeah.
Like, you feel like you go on a skipper, and they always pick a lot of the same jokes. She went a little bit more... new, and I liked it. I gave her a cast compliment in the app.
Awesome.
I think the cast member's name was Mackenzie. So Mackenzie, you were a great skipper.
Nice. It's always good.
Yeah. And so now it's time for the rest of our party to start making their way back from the pool. I got them a Grand Floridian reservation. They walk over, make it in time. We do Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Okay. After that, we decide that it's fireworks are at 8, and we want to... And by the way, I should point out one thing about this Magic Kingdom Day. This was Sunday, the day we lost an hour of sleep.
Oh, right, well, yeah.
Because of daylight savings time.
Oh, boy.
So it's actually not 8 o'clock that they did the fireworks. They did the fireworks at 9. So we get on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I was like, well, let's go try to fit in Big Thunder. And Big Thunder is backed up like crazy. And I'm like... y'all ain't going to make this. And I refuse to get in line, and I go stand in the hub because I'm like, I'm watching Enchantment. I don't care what y'all do. I'll save you a spot. My dad and I stand there. We make some friends. They show up right. With 2 minutes to spare.
Yeah.
They show up at 8:58 and cram their way in there. We watch Enchantment, and I know that I have spoken a lot of things about Enchantment on this show. It's a good show. It's a good show.
But
it's no Happily Ever After. Not okay. Even close. But it's a good show. I feel like if I had never watched Happily Ever After, I would say it's an excellent show. But Happily Ever After is leagues better, even in person. Leagues better.
You said there was no Tinkerbell that night. Was it just high winds or something?
High winds, yeah. High winds. Yeah.
I figured it's got to be a lot for them to not do it.
But I will say this, putting aside my Happily Ever After love, I will go back and watch Enchantment again because it is a good show. I do like the sort of the beginning and end parts, especially. I feel like they build pretty well.
It's about 5 minutes shorter, but I think they do that because they realize the thing of they have about people's attention span. That's why they keep cutting Country Bears.
Right. Well, that's the only reason. No, but yeah, you're right.
Well, given what they've cut, I would say so.
That's true, because they've left anything that's potentially offensive.
So that's the end of the trip for my brother-in-law, who has to leave the next day. Okay. We wake up. The next day is Animal Kingdom. My sister has to leave around 3:30. Since we had already done Flight of Passage and Navi River Journey before, I said, we can sleep in. You guys have earned a sleep-in day because you did the most important things. We wake up. I get Fast Pass for Kilimanjaro Safari. Sure. At first, we weren't going to get Genie Plus at all. But as I saw what the waits were looking like while we were still at the hotel, I was like, all right, I'm just going to buy this. And so we do Genie Plus, get Kilimanjaro Safari. And once I use that lightning lane, I spent hours trying to get something else. Not at Animal Kingdom. By the way, we did do Dinosaur before we did Kilimanjaro Safaris. So we did go Standby Dinosaur, then went to Kilimanjaro Safaris. But that said, after I got on Kilimanjaro, we wanted to go to Hollywood Studios. They didn't get to ride Tower of Terror. And so my niece wanted to ride Tower of Terror. And I refreshed and I refreshed and I refreshed. And I knew about some of the drops.
Yeah.
And it kept showing up. And I would click on it.
Gone.
And it would be gone.
Yeah.
And then I would refresh. And I would click on it.
Yeah.
And it would be gone.
Oh, Genie.
And then I would refresh.
Yeah.
And I would click on it. And it would be gone. And I would do this for hours. Oof. And I would see like, fine, I'll take Rockin'. Again, refresh, click on it, gone. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. Refresh, click on it, gone. Millennium Falcon, Smuggler's Run. Refresh, click on it, gone. Every single ride, I could not pull anything to save my life. It just would not keep the ride that showed up in my app. This ride is available. Click, 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 not available. Click, 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 yeah. Not available. Now, in the interim, we do take the Wildlife Express train out to Rafiki's Planet Watch. My son was doing the Wilderness Explorer badges. He loved all that. And we do the drawing class, which honestly was one of the highlights of my trip. I've always wanted to do it. I'm really proud of the mini I drew. My son did a great job. My mom, that might be the happiest I saw her the whole trip. She was so proud of what she had drawn. She kept all of them, and she said she's going to frame all of our drawings and hang them up.
That is cool.
Yeah, it was one of those things that I always enjoyed doing when it was at the studio still. And then also they usually had drawing classes on the cruise ship too. I don't know if they had any on the ones you've been on, Jason, but that used to be a thing they do. They did that drawing class. So
that is cool.
Those were always, I would always make a point to get those drawing classes on the ship as well because it was just fun.
And my son, you can see, I don't think I posted it on Twitter. I'll think about it. I don't know if I want to, you know, put it out there. But he did a really good job for a 7-year-old. Like you can tell it's mini.
Yeah, I saw it. It was good.
I was very proud of mine. We had a lot of fun. We got back on the train. And then the question was, did we want to do the Festival of the Lion King or what? Because it was about time for my sister to leave. Instead, you know, the kids were like, we really want ice cream. And I said, well, if they want ice cream, head over towards Asia near Everest because they have a decent ice cream stand. On the way there, I saw there was a relatively short line for the guest experience tent. And I'm like, I'm going to complain. So I stand in line. Of course, it was a relatively short line, but the guy in front of me, like, I guess his whole entertainment was just talking to guest experience team, because he just stood there and talked to them for like 35 minutes about everything in his mind about like, oh yeah, I used to be going in. So finally, the other lady finished. I talked to her. I explained to her, I'm like, I've been trying to pull Tower of Terror. This is what happens. And in fact, while I was standing in line, it popped up again and went and loaded. I'm like, see, look right here. This says it's available at 4 p.m. I click on it and it's gone. Yeah. Like, I've been doing this all day. Like, I understand that you get this complaint all day, every day. And she's like, yes, sir, I do.
Oh, it's so annoying.
And I'm like, I said, this system is terrible.
Garbage. Yeah.
She's like, yes, the old system was much easier. This system I paid for, and it is terrible. And then she's like, well, I can't get you a Tower of Terror. There's none more, no more available. Would you like to take Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run? I said, no. My niece has not ridden Tower of Terror, yeah, and I've spent hours trying to get it. I want Tower of Terror. So I sit there, and she types up like a 4-page long thing, oh, wow, saying, go to Hollywood Studios, go to Guest Services, and they will take care of you.
Wow.
So we go and take my sister out to rideshare. She gets an Uber, heads to the airport. Oh, wow. We head over to Hollywood Studios. Because she was there, I told her that we had 7 people. I go to Hollywood Studios, I run ahead, and they gave us 7, one attached to each person, anytime fast passes for Tower of Terror. You know, that allowed the kids to ride twice. They're only running one side of Tower of Terror. The standby line was 180 minutes, and we were able to skip that line twice.
Why were they only running one side?
They're doing something to the other side.
Huh.
180 minutes posted wait. Touring plan said expect at least 140, I think. And we skipped it twice, which helped me feel like I got my $15 worth. Ooh, there is a couple of Genie Plus strategies out there now. And one of the primary strategies involves planning time to spend at a guest experience tent to complain about Genie Plus in order to get what you paid for.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, you got to find the right person to complain enough. These days, they probably get a lot of people doing that same thing, but for rightfully so.
Yeah, no, like, yeah, that's how you use Genie Plus. You buy it, yep, you get your first one, you try your second one, you complain, and that's how you get it. Like, the system, the optimal version of a system involves talking to a guest experience team member is a terrible system.
Yeah, that should never have to happen.
A system you are paying for.
Yeah, a lot of money, too.
Right.
Per person.
So we read Tower of Terror, and then we have to figure out dinner. And we saw that Topolino's had a walk-up list available, so we go hop on the Skyliner and try to get in range, and right as the time I get in range, it's out of walk-up list. So we go to Primo Piatto, which saved us a bunch of money and also was very good, and I got to go to Bar Riva at the Riviera, and I found out that they put our drink that Chris had made, the Mediterranean Margarita, it is now the Riva Margarita, and it is on the menu.
Sweet.
And I'd like to think that us and all of our other Bar Riva stands out there helped make that happen. And so I was very happy.
I'll claim that.
And I got to say, I was very happy to be on property at Riviera.
It's your home.
I felt a sense of like, this is my place. Y'all. Like, it was different because I'm like, this is my place. I'm coming here. I even said out loud, I'm like, I was sitting there watching my son eat at Primo Piatto and I'm thinking, I wonder if 40 years from now he's going to be sitting at Primo Piatto with his kids.
Yeah.
You know?
That would be cool.
Here at Riviera. Because we own here. We're going to go here every year for like forever. That is one of the moments where I felt like I'm really happy that I had bought into the vacation club. It was good. I want to be back there. I want to just spend a trip there. I'm excited about the trips we have planned for the Riviera. But now the trip is almost to a close. We're almost out. We have to figure out what we're going to finish up the night with. And we end up at Rock and Roller Coaster. We end up waiting probably 45 minutes to ride Rock and Roller Coaster, a little bit longer, to wrap up the night. And we head out. We get in the car. You know, the next morning we wake up, we check out, we eat a little bit of breakfast. And after everybody else has gone their merry way, my wife, my son, and I head to the pool. I worked from the pool for a couple hours. I just had to unwind a little bit before I got in the car. We left probably about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay. There was all lanes closed on 75. And then the biggest thing, we went to Bucky's. And I didn't tell y'all about this, but we went to Bucky's, went to pump gas, we pumped our gas, came back in, car wouldn't start.
Oh wow.
Wasn't the battery, it was trying to. We went and got like the fuel injector cleaner, and I sat there for a while. I don't know if we flooded the engine or what, but finally got it to start, thankfully. There was a moment there, Adam, where I was like, I was about to call you and be like, hey, buddy, can you drive to Bucky's and come get us?
Wow.
So we didn't get home till almost midnight last night because of that.
Oh, wow. See, I didn't realize that's why you took that long to get back.
Yeah. But that said, we're back home safe and sound. My overall rating is that the trip was a major success. They got to do everything they wanted to do. I felt like a really good tour guide. I felt like I did it as best as I could. But I also was very frustrated at times because I felt like I was working with a hand tied behind my back with the Genie Plus system. And I felt like every time I'm turning around, just being like, $100, thank you. Another $100, okay. Another $100, okay. Like, my mom at the end was like, tell me how much I owe you, and I still got to figure that up. She's like, why haven't you figured that out? I'm like, I spent so much money, I got to sit down and figure out what I spent.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I want to say, because every day we did an individual Lightning Lane and Genie Plus, every single day we did that, except for the last day at Animal Kingdom, all we did was Genie Plus. But that's because one of the days we did two individual Lightning Lanes, because we did both Rise and Flight of Passage in the same day. That meant we spent, for eight people, over $200 extra total every day.
You bought two more tickets.
Yeah.
But I don't know how else I would have gotten them on all the stuff they wanted to do in that short of a trip with the speed that they were moving. Because, you know, they're eight people. And I'm not going to fault them for that. People got to stop.
Yeah,
I had my parents who are a little older. They don't move that fast.
Yeah.
People got to stop to use the bathroom, stop to eat.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way.
Yeah, can't do it.
No way they would have gotten to see all that stuff without spending
no money. No way. Yeah, you just can't do it. So overall, do you think everybody, I doubt, loved it more than Universal, but did they kind of come around on Disney, you think? Or
they loved Disney.
Okay.
But they definitely felt like they were nickeled and dimed. They said their preference would be make the price exorbitant. Whatever you want to make it. That's what Universal does. Just make a price. Set a flat price. It's like, you want to have a better experience? Pay this money and you get it.
Not pay money and you still have to work.
Right. I think the other thing about the old FastPass system that helped with the perceived value is that right now, in this system, you can only hold one. So everybody is just trying to hold out for all the good ones. Mm-hmm. In the old FastPass system, people would sign up for three.
Yeah.
And not all of them were good three. They recognized they were going to get one good one and two not-so-good ones.
Right.
But then they're like, well, I know in my day I'm at least getting these three.
Yeah. If nothing else.
I'm not expecting anything else, but I'm getting these three attractions.
Right. I'm going to get three in for sure with a short wait. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it created a higher perceived value. Whereas here, you're not guaranteed even two.
Yeah.
That's true. Unless you're just going to get ones you don't even like. If you want to get one that's like wait time, 1 minute for the show, fast pass, 1 minute. You know, there's no guarantee that by the time you've used your first one, there's still any left to get on any of the other attractions.
Yeah.
And then even if something pops up, you're 99.9% of the time, you aren't going to get it because it's gone within a second.
Right.
Would you say, here's the thing, based on what I gather from what you were saying, you had to pay and then also had to work twice as hard to make it work.
Correct.
Yeah. That sucks.
Then you had to when it was free.
Correct. And so if you give me the choice between this system or no system, give me the standby lines.
Yeah, just give me take no it away. System.
Yeah, take it all away. Yeah, all or nothing.
Yeah, I feel like there's got to be some middle ground here. And but I'm with you, Adam. The number one thing is if Genie Plus presents you a time.
Hold it.
Hold it. I'll point this out. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, It popped up and it said something like 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. I clicked on it. This is a paid individual Lightning lane.
Yeah.
I clicked on the time. We hesitated for a second because we're like, okay, we're good. We're going to ride this. Okay. Selected the party, hit credit card, and said, okay, next. Said, congratulations, you are booked for 6:40 to 7:40.
Ugh, that's annoying. Oh, man.
It wasn't even the time that I had picked. Like,
yeah.
This isn't that hard, folks.
Yep.
Yeah, it's very frustrating.
I mean, if you're going to pay, at least let the system work. I mean, at least, I mean, because the FastPass Plus system worked and it was free. I get that we're not even a year into it yet, so maybe it still has a chance to work like it should. We'll see, but
I don't care that they're only a year into it. They had a system that worked,
like they're not even a year
into it. And it was free.
Yeah.
I don't, but they are charging money for it.
Oh, I get it. That's where the frustration comes in.
If you have a system that's better already, bring that back and charge me $15 for it. I will gladly pay the $15. I would gladly, Chapek, if you really want to hear something that'll make your ears sing, bring back FastPass like it was before. I will pay $20 a day for it. I will pay more than that to know that I have that system.
Yeah, you get your money's worth, though.
You do. You're guaranteeing everybody at least three rides.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can even find a way to work in the one individual if you want.
Correct. And I actually like the one individual. Like, I like the individual. Part of me is like, if you want to make if you really want to money grab this thing,
just make them all individual.
Do that for every single ride. Do it for every single ride. And every single ride, you can make a decision. How much is it worth to me to skip this line?
Right.
This line and this line only. Because the problem with Genie Plus is I charge $15 with the expectation I'm going to skip several lines. And the truth is you're probably skipping one or two.
You know those memes or whatever it is where they say you can have like, or you have X amount of money and then you have these categories. Like it's like that you got to buy, like you had to put your team together. And they have, you only can only be a good one from certain categories. Maybe they should consider doing Genie Plus like that. Like when you buy, you have a dollar amount, and then you have to, you know, choose the rides based on the amount you spent.
Interesting idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, let people book not just the next available time, but a time that works best for them. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. My final review is that the trip was tiring, way more tiring than it has been in the past, but it was a huge success, I think. I think everybody had a great time. And I feel like I did my tour guide duties well. I'm glad I got to go to the pool at the end of the day. I'm glad I got to see some of my favorite bartenders. Kit at the Coronado Springs pool was there. I did not get to see Chris at Bar Riva, but I did find out he was working earlier that day. And a huge shout out to Daniel at the Dahlia Lounge. We did go up there one night, and he was fantastic to talk to. And he has been at several bars as well. He was a Disney nut just as much as me. We had a great time. Cast members, as always, are a delight. They are what make that place great. And I'm glad to see that the standards there have not slipped and that there were several cases where I was able to cast compliments. So I'm very, very excited about my upcoming trips, especially in June. I have two nights at Boardwalk. I feel like I'm going to really enjoy that. And I cannot wait to stay at the Riviera. I am very excited. So that's it. That's the trip report. Another successful trip. Who's next? Who's going next?
I don't know. I guess it could potentially be me, unless there's another one in between. If we get an AP preview of Guardians, we're all going together, right? I mean, that's got to be what we
do. Oh, yeah. We'll go for an AP preview of Guardians. You know that's happening if that comes out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Anyways, well, I think that's a wrap. So if you want to hear more about us, though, you can always find us elsewhere. Where do they go?
Well, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store where you can buy your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM podcast. And we also have a YouTube channel where you can see a few videos as well. If you would like to do that, we would love it if you would subscribe.
And we have links to that and more on our website, which is travelingwithamouse.com. You can also email us podcast at travelingwiththemouse.com. And if you want to book your own Disney trip and need some help with it, we have a travel agent friend who can do that for you. Her name is Jill Dilbeck, and her email is jilldilbeck@gmail.com.
So, this has been Traveling with the Mouse for John and Adam. This has been Jason, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.